For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. The racial injustice reckoning the nation is experiencing in the wake of George Floyd's death amplified calls like never before for sports teams and programs to get rid of Native American nicknames. Now, here to talk about the issue is Chris Newell, the Director of Education at the Agamount Educational Initiative and a member of the Passamaquoddy Tribe. Chris, have Native American nicknames bothered you in the past, and how have you noticed the discussions around those nicknames change in this moment?
So when it comes to sports teams, this is something that, as a child growing up on an isolated community, I really didn't have a problem with when I saw teams like the Redskins or Chiefs on television. I was just kind of happy that at least there was something that involved Native peoples, even if I knew it was a caricature way back at that time. However, my experiences at college, I went to Dartmouth College, and that was my first time experiencing the fan behavior of a sports team mascot with a Native mascot or a Native nickname, the former Dartmouth Indian, which it wasn't at the time in the 90s, but there was a lot of students that were still upholding that. So seeing that behavior firsthand really made me change my mind. And then I continue to see it as well, perpetuated in high school, college, as well as the sports team level, the same types of behaviors that bothered me back then.
So that's really interesting. I've never heard that perspective before. So it's less about the nickname and more about the cosplay that goes on surrounding the nickname.
Yeah, a lot of times the discussion becomes about the name or the offensiveness of which word you use. And what my answer to that is that the most common question we get at Agamount is which one is right, Native American, Indian. And what I always tell people is that none of those words are right. There's no right answer to that. Those are all European ideas of how to, singularize all of the multiplicity of Native cultures under one single term. So arguing about whether Indians or red men is offensive or not, that's really the wrong argument. It's really what happens at a sports game. And when you have a Native mascot involved, it's not uncommon for, say, the opposing team to want to lampoon that team. If you're a player on the field and you're a Native player, that can tend to feel very personal. And if you're a Native person in the stands, that can also feel very personal to you as if it's directed straight at you. So it's not just the team that has the mascot. The opposing fans as well can contribute to a hostile environment for a Native person at a sports match that involves a Native nickname or a Native mascot.
Well, I hear what you're saying with regards to it being more the behavior than the actual name, but I want to submit this to you. Here's something I looked up. Of all the professional sports teams in the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, MLS, and even the G League, the NBA's minor league, only three of those teams featured nicknames referring to a racial identity of a non-Native American. And if I may still use that term for lack of a better one. Those three teams were the Edmonton Eskimos, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Boston Celtics. And there's no nicknames that I can find elsewhere that speak to any other racial identity. So to what degree is there an issue with Native American nicknames that turns racial identity into a mascot?
It's kind of a phenomenon of American pop culture. Really, the heyday of creating these mascots and nicknames was about the 1920s, 1930s. That's at a time when Native people were just beginning to get citizenship, were not typically allowed to off their reservations. And the creation of all of these mascots, whether in professional or at the high school level, were almost always, I can't think of one that actually had Native involvement. So there was, no Native involvement in the creation of these mascots or these caricatures. And so that's why you often see the interpretation rather than and any sort of cultural competency involved in it.
It's just really interesting. As I was looking around at different nicknames, and then to see all the nicknames of all the teams together, you realize that there are so many Indian nicknames of all the racial identity nicknames. The Indian nicknames dwarf the other ones, and most teams are Jets or Jazz or Lions or Tigers or something.
Yeah, and Even the Eskimos are also problematic because Inuit, Inupiaq peoples, they do not self-identify as Eskimo. They consider that a slur themselves.
I read they're having that discussion in Edmonton right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, I categorize them as non-Native American because I know there was a time where they were just sort of considered Native Americans who lived in igloos. But that's, you know, as people have studied the issue and as they have made clear, that's not really the case. Is that that's your understanding too, right?
Yeah, for the most part, the Alaska Natives have a very different history.
Sure.
And a lot of things, and the laws that apply to them are different, but their cultures are so different.
Sure.
In fact, even in Passamaquoddy, the Inuit people that were on the eastern side, the way we refer to them in our language, the translation of our term for them would be the people that eat raw food. We saw a large cultural difference, you know, between us and them just in that.
Isn't that something? Wow. You know, there are a lot of nicknames in sports that refer to jobs or group identities like Cowboys, Patriots, Packers. You get the gist in that vein. Is a Native American nickname like Chiefs, which is a position one holds, more acceptable than one that purely deals with identity like Cleveland Indians?
Well, it's not up to really me as one Native voice to judge, you know, whether that's acceptable or not.
This is your opinion, your personal opinion.
I'm sorry.
Is it that's just again. I'm just asking your personal opinion.
Yes. Yeah. No. This is definitely my personal opinion. It's really not about which one is more acceptable or not. It's really about the behavior that happens in the stands. There's a lot of license that's given. So the term Chiefs, you know, you can apply that to more than just Native people. You don't have to have Native imagery associated with it. So there's actually the possibility of keeping a name like Chiefs or Chieftains or even Warriors and to take the Native imagery out and to still keep the name. So there's ways with certain ones, you know, nicknames that there's actually ways to get rid of the harm that happens with stereotypes of Native people and the appropriation that happens by just simply getting rid of the imagery. And once again, these are English language terms. These are not terms that we use in our own languages. And so that's one of the big differences and problems that we're having is we're communicating in the English language, not in our own languages. And so it's hard to really communicate how we identify ourselves in our own language using the medium that we're currently using.
You talk about the European language using the term Native Americans as a catch-all for a wide swath of nations. Is there a Native American word for Native American?
Right, yeah. So all cultures are dynamic. And when it comes to our languages are dynamic as well. So if you go back, 700 years ago before the arrival of European colonization, there likely was not a word that was used that way because we wouldn't have needed it. We all referred to each other relationally, and we all had names for one another, but there wasn't one single word that would describe somebody that was, indigenous to the Americas, one single term in our language. But as Europeans arrived, we did start to develop a word in the Passamaquoddy language, and that is Skijin. And we translate that basically today as, meaning any other Native person or any Native person, but it truly translates more as surface dweller. And that really kind of shows the relational aspect of it, surface dweller, as opposed to Europeans who are arriving on ships and were living on ships early on.
How would we spell that and how would we pronounce it again?
So in our writing system, it's actually S-K-I-C-I-N, but in the English phonetics, it would be more S-K-E-E-J-U-N.
S-K-E-E-J-U-N. And
yeah.
So Skijun, is that how you pronounced it?
Skijun. So maybe S-K-E-E-J-I-N would be better. Skijun. Yeah,
Skijun.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we've learned something today. I didn't know that. Okay. Winding down. here in Connecticut, I believe we have around, I believe 18 Connecticut high schools that use Native American nicknames. California and Oregon limit the use of Native American mascots in public schools. Maine bans them outright. Would you like to see a similar ban here in Connecticut, or would you like to see there be some sort of law dealing with fan behavior in relation to these nicknames?
It's already, I think, two schools that have, so it's less than 18 now in Connecticut. Guilford is one. I believe there was another one that changed just recently. I know North Haven, Watertown are all under heavy consideration of changing their name very, very soon.
Killingly still the holdout, huh?
Yeah, well, Killingly, yeah, they're the one that's like, no, we're just not, they're just not answering the phone calls. So am I supportive of laws when they get done? It in the greater good, it does make sense. It does work. Once you get rid of the mascots, then you can really start to talk about Native history and Native contemporary issues in a real way, rather than being distracted by the masketry and things of that sort. But my preference is that, we learn together as people. We look at the mistakes that have happened. We look at the history of mascots, and we see the behavior for what it is. We learn better, and then we do better going forward. And in that way, if we were able to do that as people, not just as Native people, but, people just in general, I think that I have confidence that people would just in general get rid of the mascots on their own. I have enough confidence in what I've seen over the years. And also I have a lot of faith in human beings just in general and Americans to get the answer right, as long as they have the right information, which is probably the hardest part to come by, is having good resources.
So to summarize, I mean, if you believe that if the majority of Americans were properly educated on the culture, that these nicknames would go away, and you would like to see the nicknames go away.
Experience of being in that environment of a sports mascot and seeing non-Native students take their faces and make certain types of cheers, that actually was very shocking to me at the time. It was damaging to my self-esteem. So all of the studies that point to the damage to self-esteem of young Native people, I experienced that myself. I do not want to see a world where my kids have to go through that, or their kids would have to go through that. So going forward, I would hope that, we would just think of things better. Native peoples, and I say peoples plural because there's over 575 tribes just in the U.S. alone. We are a multiplicity of culture. We have complexity in our lives, and we are living cultures. We are not figments of the past, which is one of the most damaging things that these mascots do, is the portrayal of us only as existing in the past. As a museum educator, I can say that even working in a tribal museum, it is not uncommon for someone in the state of Connecticut, whether a child or adult, to have never met a Native person in their life and enter a tribal museum and wonder if the tribe whose history we are portraying still lives or not, even if they have a member of that tribe leading up their tour. They just don't make the connection. So we're literally starting at square zero at times with people, and I would love to see a much more educated public when it comes to these topics and see the living cultures that we have here today.
Chris Newell, I can say that I am transformed by this conversation. Thank you so much, Chris Newell of the Agamount Educational Center. From here on out, I will not say he is bringing the Native American perspective on Indian nicknames. You are bringing the Skegean perspective.
I think probably your choice to say not to use Native American, I have no problem with English language terminology that uses that. And just to make sure that when you say the word Skegean, that's only one language, that's Passamaquoddy.
Understood.
It's not a Native American term. And that's one of the things I try to get people away from, is we all self-identify by our tribes.
Understood. And I really appreciate the time. I think myself and everyone who listened in is better for having heard this.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time. And once again, pay attention to those voices that have been speaking for decades. They have a lot of information out there that they can add to this topic. I'm just one of the ones that tries to lift those voices up.